Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. That is Isaiah 25, verse 1. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining me today is Capital Region adoptive mom, Charlie Young. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on today. So you and your husband, Leon, have six children. Let me see if I can get their names and ages right. Chloe is 13, Lexi is 9, Jack is 7, Noelle is 6, Amy is 5, and Ellie is 4.
Yep, that's right.
I did it. I got it right. I have a cheat sheet right here. Five of them are biological children, and one came through the miracle of adoption. So, Charlie, tell us about what led you and Leon to adopt.
Yeah, so adoption was something that was really on my heart, even pre-marriage. I think it was just something I was always interested in. And once we got married, I remember a tipping point towards foster care. I was folding laundry one day in our bedroom, and Family Life Today was on the radio, and they were talking about foster care, and it just broke my heart. And I called my husband, and I was crying, and I was like, this is just something that we cannot just let go by. We have to get involved. And so that was kind of the beginning of our journey at that point. I think we had four of our own children at that time, but that was kind of what led to just a vision being like a missionally based family.
So, and then Charlie, or your daughter, your oldest daughter, Chloe, was about 7 when you actually began taking the foster care classes and began the process?
Yeah. So they were 7 down to just tiny at that point.
Wow. So when you began fostering, was Amy your first placement?
She was. We got Amy when she was just a couple days old. We met her in hospital. We got to take her home a few days after that. And I remember that day so clearly because the second I met her, I just couldn't believe the love that God put in my heart for her. And it was just really a neat experience. Our whole family went to the hospital to take her home, and everybody was just kind of celebrating, like, that we got to do that, that we got to be part of her story. So it was really a neat experience.
Wow. So you originally fostered Amy, and then at what point were you able to adopt her?
So we adopted Amy. We had Amy from birth until about 22 months old. And then we were finally able to adopt. So it took us just under 2 years to adopt.
Wow. So did you continue after that? Did you continue to foster more children?
Yes. We actually fostered during the whole time that we were fostering Amy. So after we brought Amy home, we had 6 other placements over 2 years. And that included a couple of young sibling groups and babies up to about 6 years old, I think, is our oldest that we fostered with 6.
Wow. And you had 4 of your own children already.
Yes.
And they were young. So how have your biological children handled having foster kids coming in and then you adopted one of them?
Yeah. Like anything else, I think kids are, they're just resilient. They're open. And so they really handled it well. They accepted Amy as their own right away. And any of the other kids that came in the house, they were excited to meet them. They were excited to be part of their life. And they were so young that we didn't really see a lot of the jealousy or that sort of thing crop up. I think maybe a tiny bit with our second oldest, Lexi, and a six-year-old that we had, just because they were the same age. But other than that, like, they were just excited. They did so well.
Wow. So when you were originally living in Montana, back when you adopted, you were doing foster care and you adopted Amy, and then you moved to New York. So what led to that move?
Yeah. So Leon was a pastor at a church in Montana. We were born and raised there, grew up our whole lives in Montana, and we just really felt like at the point that we were at, God was calling us to do something new. We'd been really involved in foster care, and we were just so passionate about it. And we looked at scripture and the call on the church to really care for the orphan. We looked at the call for evangelism, and when we came across Life Church and we watched kind of some of their sermons and what they were doing, and we heard our senior pastor, Craig Rochelle, he preached about foster care often, and we just knew that that was something that we really wanted to be a part of. And so when we got the opportunity to move to New York, we packed up all six of our kids and moved clear across the country to be part of what they were doing. So.
Wow. So Life Church, you're at Life Church in Albany, and Life Church across the country has a strong foster care and adoption heart, really. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So Life Church is 27 locations, one church, 27 locations. And throughout those locations, foster care and adoption is just something that is really a part of our culture. It's part of what we do as the church. And in Oklahoma, where Life Church is basically based out of, and where our senior pastor is, they've just done a phenomenal job of flooding the system with foster parents. And so we're on the beginning stages of trying to create that here in Albany. And so we're just really excited about it.
Yeah, because I know I've even heard of Life Church in Oklahoma City being extremely involved in foster care and the care portal and just doing tremendous things. So that's exciting to hear that Life Church in right here in Albany also shares that same vision.
Yeah, I think the believer's life is based on what we believe about God, and God adopted us, and through Jesus Christ, we were given the opportunity to be adopted as sons and daughters. So it's really at the heart of the gospel. And so it's just exciting to see the church get involved.
Mm. So when you made your move from Montana to New York, have you continued to foster here in New York as well?
We haven't. Once we landed in New York, the move was pretty big. And so we took a little break. Not that foster care ever left the forefront of our mind, but we took a little break, and about a year ago, we started getting involved again, going through the classes to get licensed, and we're just in the process of finishing up those classes, so we're just really excited to get back involved personally. We've been working with things that have to do with foster care through the church, but we're just really excited to open up our home again.
Yeah, that's exciting. So what do you believe? I know your husband is a worship pastor. This is definitely on your heart. It's a passion for you and your husband. What do you believe is the church's responsibility, the Big C Church, the body of Christ? What is our responsibility when it comes to foster children, orphans, vulnerable kids?
I think that it's just every believer's job to care about the orphan. I mentioned, being adopted as sons and daughters by God, and I just feel that foster care and adoption just displays the glory of God, and it really paints a picture of our salvation in a really unique way. And I think that I think everyone can be involved in foster care and adoption. I think everyone's called to care. And if that's opening up your home and being a foster parent, then that's amazing. You should do that. And if it's not, then there's ways for you to still be involved. I think that it starts first and foremost with the church and leadership with the pastor and the leadership in the church really pushing people to care about the orphan, to foster, to adopt. And I'm just really grateful that we've had that leadership. And then ask questions. Ask what you can do. See if you can just sit with those foster families during their hard times. You know, it's their hearts on the line. And when those kids go back, if they go back to their family, we celebrate that. But in the same token, it's heartbreaking sometimes because you love them. And so as a church, we can rally around them. We can sit with them. We can bring them meals. We can help with transportation. We can provide child care. And with foster kids, it's kind of a unique thing because you have to maybe go through a background check in order to provide care for their child. But what a better way to just display love to that family and support that family than to really show you care by going an extra mile. And I think that a lot of times we think, oh, well, I'm not called to foster. I'm not called to adopt. So that doesn't apply to me. But I think God wants the whole church involved. And I think as a church community, we can really make a difference when we make it a priority.
Yeah, and I think I feel too, I agree, that churches kind of have their different vision or mission focuses. Some are into church planning or missions or discipleship or whatever that is. But the children who are available for adoption, waiting for their forever family, foster children, vulnerable families, they fit into every one of those visions or missions. So I've come across churches who are kind of like, well, we don't do the orphan thing. We do church planting, or we don't do the orphan thing. We're about spreading the gospel. And I'm kind of like, yep. So this is the same thing.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. I agree. I think that the gospel belongs to everyone, that everyone should have a right to hear it and to be part of it. And that includes the most vulnerable in our communities. And the best way to really give them hope and give them the gospel is to open up our homes and to open up our lives and to share the gospel with them while meeting their basic needs.
Yeah. And isn't that what God did for us?
It is.
So it is the gospel in action.
It is. It definitely is.
Yeah. So I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. Our guest today is adoptive mom Charlie Young. Charlie and her husband attend Life Church Albany, where Leon is a worship pastor. They have 5 biological children and 1 child adopted through foster care. And Charlie, let's talk about a little bit more about Life Church in Albany. What kind of things are you getting going there in this area of adoption and foster care?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned Pastor Craig and his wife, Amy, have just done a really amazing job of leading us as a church to pursue foster care and adoption. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how in Oklahoma, the Child and Family Services has just been flooded with foster parents from Life Church. And here in Albany, we're a relatively newer campus, and so we're just working really hard to create that culture in our church. We want it to be just such a part of who we are that if there's a need out there in the Capital District that the agencies know, they can come to Life Church and get that need met, that there will be a foster family that's there and ready. So we're just really creating awareness we're, you know, having good conversations. It definitely starts with the leadership. And so we're just, we're trying to just raise awareness and maybe dispel some of that fear that surrounds foster care and adoption. We want to kind of break some of the assumptions and the misinformation and educate our people so that they just maybe feel like they can lay down their life and boldly follow what God's directing them to do without all the fear of the unknown that comes along with foster care and adoption.
And you guys are,
and, you know,
go ahead.
We're also asking good questions like, how can we support our current families? What are we doing? What systems do we have in place that will make sure that our families feel supported and not isolated? We're just in the beginning stages of some of these things, and so we're just really excited about it. And then as a church, we also have we have an emphasis on loving our community. And so through that, we have partnered with a really great agency called Fostering Futures. And their job is really that they create teams of people that surround foster families. And those teams typically come out of churches, and they are matched with a family that is a fostering family or adoptive family, and they just surround them. They become their support system, whether it's we need help with homework or we need a meal or maybe we need transportation or babysitting or even just some household chores. This team goes and just kind of pours out their life to help these kids. And so we're partnering with them. We think they're just a really amazing organization. We love what they're doing to reach our community. And so those are some of the things that we're doing at Life Church, just to, you know, raise awareness.
Yeah, and Fostering Futures is a great way for a church to get volunteers from their congregation to get involved to help local foster families who have some needs. You know, like you said, it's volunteering some time, wrapping around a family in the community. It's not necessarily a family in your own church, but a family in the community, a foster family that needs that support, because it can be very hard and very challenging. And these families have, you know, given it all. They've stepped up. They're doing it. They've got kids in their home, but they need our support. And when foster and adoptive families get that support, they're able to continue in this work. They're encouraged, they're supported, they're helped, and they can be more successful. And that means the children in their families can be more successful. So it's really a win-win. And Fostering Futures is one way to do that. And I know, I think we mentioned the Care Portal a little bit earlier. And a couple of weeks ago, my guest on the show was Adrian Lewis. And he is the head of the director of the Care Portal nationwide. And the Care Portal is a project that brings together churches and foster care agencies. And it's sort of an online community of church volunteers and the agencies. And when there is a need in the community, the need goes out through an email, and folks who want to sign up for those emails and think that maybe they can fulfill some of those needs, whether it be a new mom has a need for a car seat in order to bring her baby home from the hospital so the baby doesn't end up being removed from her care because she couldn't provide the car seat. And, you know, maybe it's meals, maybe it's respite. There's a lot of different needs that families have, whether they're families that are vulnerable so that their children don't go into the system, or families, foster families and foster children. The Care Portal is a way that connects them and gets those needs met. It's a great way that the church can get involved beyond just beyond becoming foster parents and adoptive parents, because we've talked about not everybody is called to bring children into their home, but we are all called to care. So the Care Portal is something I'm pretty passionate about after talking with Adrian Lewis, and I've heard about it from others. And I know Life Church in Oklahoma City has gotten on board with Care Portal. I would love to see that come to New York. So that's, you know, definitely a project that churches in the Capital Region can get involved in. If they're interested in doing that, they can contact me, and we can talk more about the Care Portal. Maybe it's something Life Church would want to get involved in.
Yes, absolutely. Like you said, I know that they've been involved in Oklahoma, and so we're just at the stage of asking, what does that look like for Albany? So,
yeah, I would. That there's a great need in Albany, and a lot of people just don't realize that New York has some of the highest. The state of New York has some of the highest numbers of kids in foster care in the nation. We're one of the top states. We have over 24,000 kids in New York State in foster care. And I think there's about 5,000 of them that are actually available for adoption. Parental rights have been terminated. So we've got some pretty high numbers. You know, it stands to reason that a chunk of those children are down towards the city. But, you know, the capital region and northward, there are a lot of kids right in our own backyard that are in foster care that need a safe, loving family for a short time temporarily until it's safe for them to be reunited with their biological family, which is the intent of foster care. And sometimes that does not happen. And then the children do need a forever family. But the church can be right here with open arms to meet the needs of these children while they're waiting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, Charlie, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
Yeah, I think the biggest stumbling block for people is sometimes their own comfort. And it's a call to sacrifice your comfort when you're called to care. And so I've heard so many foster parents say this, and what we've experienced as a family is just if you step out in faith and you boldly believe that God has called you and equipped you, and you believe that God is who he says he is, he's going to sustain you. He's going to sustain the call he's placed on your life, whether that's foster care and adoption, or it's just being that support network for the people in your church, or reaching out to your community with Care Portal or Fostering Futures. Just believe God for what he says he will do. And then just wait and see. Wait and see what happens. He's done more in our heart just to strengthen our faith and to just do things inside of us that than really we could ever have imagined. And it all started just by being obedient to his call. So I think that would be my encouragement, is that, yes, it's hard, but it's just been worth it in countless ways, ways we never imagined in the beginning, and the blessing has truly been ours. So if you're considering foster care and adoption, definitely don't let fear or comfort get in the way, because God has mighty things that he can do through your family.
And definitely when he calls, he equips, he's faithful.
He is.
Yeah. So let me ask you this too, regarding Life Church. Are there other foster and adoptive families in your congregation? I know you have multiple services.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have 4 services on Sunday, and there are foster and adoptive parents throughout all of those services. And if you are at Life Church and you have questions, definitely there are people you can connect with at Life Church that can answer questions about foster care and adoption too. So
yeah, no, that's great. And that's important for any congregation to know when you have, yes, you know, families within your congregation, and some churches don't know, especially I think the larger the church gets, mm-hmm, pastors and those in leadership might not realize they have foster and adoptive families right in their congregations. And those families, yes, need to be served well. And that's really what orphan ministry or adoption ministry looks like, is serving the families within your congregation well. They're bringing the children into their families, but they need some support and some encouragement, because it can be a difficult road. It can be a lonely road, as you know. And to have your church wrap around you is is vital in order for, you know, you mentioned, you know, really for sustainability. Families answer that call. They know that God has called them to bring children into their family. They've said yes. They've stepped up. They're doing it. But they really need their arms raised. You know, they need that Aaron and that her to be able to hold their arms up so that they can continue to do this work. And that's what the church can do. The body of Christ can wrap around those within their own congregation, bring that meal, babysitting, lawn mowing, help with homework, you know, fold in some laundry. It can be, it doesn't have to cost anything monetarily. It, you know, might take a little bit of your time. And a lot of times, you know, I always point out to folks, what is your gift? What is it that you do? Do you, you know, do you cut hair? You could volunteer to cut the hair of all the children in a foster family. You know, do you like to shop? Go shopping for a family. Do you like to bake or to make a meal or whatever, whatever your gift is, whatever you love to do. You can do that for a family and just bless them beyond anything that you can really imagine that you're blessing them. And it helps them and encourages them to keep going. And really, I find when a church is doing that, when a church is wrapping around the families that are currently fostering and adopting, it becomes contagious and more families start realizing, you know, God was putting that on our heart. And now that we see families in our church being supported and served so well, we're ready. We're ready to step in and do it ourselves. So it becomes contagious almost when families are served well.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. So I'm excited, Charlie, to hear more about what you and Life Church is going to be doing in the Capital Region in this area. So thank you so much for sharing your story and for advocating for families.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And if you enjoyed this episode of Orphans No More, you can find more on our website at justicefororphansny.org and as podcasts on iTunes. Just look for the name of the show is Orphans No More. And this is Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 by adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. To book me to speak at your church or event, you can contact me. Everything's right at our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.